The book of Matthew, that's where we'll be at this morning. The book of Matthew, and in the book of Matthew, we'll be in chapter number 11, is where we'll be at specifically. But Matthew chapter 11, and I prayed and just wanted to seek the Lord's mind. I was kind of battling about two different messages this morning, but it was just in the prayer and just in the singing, God, I'll always give you direction, and I feel comfortable with what the Lord's laid on my heart. But let's talk for just a second. What is a burden? If I talked about a burden, everybody's smiling at me for some reason. I don't know why. But a burden, what is a burden? Well, a burden's a load, something that you carry. A burden could be something if you're into logistics and you know tractor trailers go up and down the road. They go up and down the road with a burden. Or you may be a farmer and you have a horse or you have a cow or something like that, and you place a burden upon that animal for it to carry, for it to move. That's what a burden is. And I know some people said this morning they have heavy hearts. They're burdened. Life gives you burdens. That's something we can't escape. They're all around us. A burden is something that's a weight. It's something that's difficult, it's wearisome, it's toilsome, it's what a burden is. It's something that's pressing on one physically or emotionally. It's carried about with labor or difficulty. And you may notice I have a book bag on my back. And you may see students as they go around class and our young children as they fill it full of books. Me and Jackson went hiking a few weeks back and he wanted to carry his backpack. And of course me, the dad, was like, you don't want to do that, son, you don't want to do that. Why was I thinking that? Because I knew I was going to carry that backpack through our hike. So he took his backpack and he filled it full of water bottles and full of toys. I said, son, we don't need that many water bottles. We don't need that many toys because it's going to put weight in that bag. And if you go hiking, if you remember your school days, maybe you still carry a backpack. You understand as you carry it, it's fine for a little bit. But as you begin to keep carrying it, you begin to put a little pain back here in the middle of your back. You begin to rub on your shoulders. And you have to kind of keep adjusting and keep picking up. And I was saying after a Bible college, after classes, a computer and books in my backpack, talking to the students from the fellowship, and I've been doing this the whole time, and finally you put it down because it's heavy. It's wearisome. And that's us. It's a picture of us in life. We carry around these backpacks on our back. Even though you can't see it, we all have one. And we carry it around. It's full of all sorts of stuff. I mean, it's packed full. I mean, you can barely get it zipped. You've got to put your knee in it to kind of crush it down and zip it up. But if I took this backpack off, we could begin to go through. And this backpack has compartments everywhere. Right? It has zippers on the side. It has zippers on the front, the middle, the top, the back, the side. But there are compartments everywhere. You know what we do with those compartments? We stick burdens. We stick cares. Things that weigh us down. And we carry them along. We drag them. We finally get hunched over as we're dragging them about. We like to say, look what I'm carrying. Man, I've got all this going on in my life. I like to talk about it. I can carry it. Man, I can drag this stuff around. Look at me. When we take it off, we'll begin to go through the pouches. We'll find maybe the burden of fear. The fear of man. The fear of failure. Maybe we go in here to find doubt. What if? An old phrase, but what if?
Yeah.
But what if God doesn't supply this month? But what if my children don't turn out the way that I've tried to raise them? But what if my mom and her health is going down? It's just dragging me. It's a burden. But what if? But what if? But what if? But what if is just not trusting God and His Word? We went through here, we find a pouch full of burdens of finances. Money is a big one. Whether it be fear, whether it be your house payments too much because you stepped out a little bit bigger than what you should have. And on, or maybe you lost your job. It could be finances, it could be marriage. Maybe you're not going well at home. That's a sad one. You've got to see people around, this young couple that are crumbling. Maybe you've got burdens of marriage. Maybe burdens of family. Maybe burdens of health, your sickness. The list goes on and on and on. And it's unique to each one of us. It's not that I have my burdens. You have yours. Preacher Wynn's will be different than mine. Yours will be different than mine. But we all have them. We cannot deny them. Burdens are something we lug around. We carry them. And carry them. Dr. Richard Swenson has a book on margin in your life, and he puts these areas of overload in our life. I'm going to read a few of them and just see if you have any of them in your life. Activity overload, change overload, choice overload, commitment, debt, decision, expectation, fatigue, hurry, information, media, noise, people, possession, technology, traffic, work. Lots of stuff that goes on. And many of those, yes, we can handle one or two of them, no problem. But if you go down that list, you hear many of them, at least I do, that apply to my life. And when you begin to put all these things into our lives, they begin to burden us down. And America is full of it. I mean, back in the day, you hear about men of God and women and revivals because people had time for God. Now we don't have time for nothing. You go on a vacation, you need to come home to go on a vacation because you wore yourself out on vacation. There's no rest in America. You go to New York City, and it is literally, I've been there, and they say it does not sleep, it does not sleep. It is from sun up to sun up to sun up to sun up, nonstop. And that's where our lives are, with entertainment, with media, traffic, work, hurry, the bustle. And we just say, well, it's part of it. It's part of life. We begin to accept it. We begin to tuck it away in these compartments. We begin to put it on our back and just carry it around. That's not how God designed the Christian life to be.
Amen.
Not how Christ designed the Christian life to be. And you can carry it around, and you can carry it around until finally you collapse. And I don't know if you're like me, but I've done that. I've carried and carried and carried it because I'm so prideful. I don't want to admit it's there. And I want to tell people, look at my life. Look what I've got going on. Till finally I collapse with it. And I can't go anymore. And I go to my wife and say, I'm done. I can't go anymore. I'm finished. And you got to take a week, 2 weeks, then recuperate and get back up to keep carrying around unless the Lord teaches you something about these burdens. The Lord has taught me something this last week about burdens, and I pray it'll be a help to you through this passage of Scripture. I've read this passage. I've heard it preached on. Chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor. I've heard many messages from it. And I don't think I've ever took it at heart. I don't know what it is, but it just rolled off my ears. Or maybe I've never been in a situation to understand it. I don't know what it is. But look with me in Matthew chapter 11, beginning in verse 28. Jesus Christ says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's pray. Lord, I love you this morning. I thank you for life. I thank you for this church, these dear people that are gathered here. God, help me to be a blessing to these people. Nothing I can say can help, but God, take your word. People are burdened. People have cares, and I pray that you'll help them. God, take your word. Send it forth. Fill me with your spirit. And may you pour out your spirit in abundant measure. Lord, please meet with us this morning. Guide and lead us in Jesus' name. Amen. So I think about the burdens that we carry around. I think about, well, what does Scripture say about this? And it brings me to this portion of Scripture. Christ has a lot to say. The Bible has a lot to say about burdens. If you take a concordance, you'll see burdens are mentioned, whether it's a load or whether it's a physical, emotional burden that we carry. As I look down in this portion of Scripture, first of all, I see an invitation to salvation. I never really saw that in this portion of Scripture. I just always thought about it, about me as a Christian who's weary and weighed down. But he says, come unto me, an invitation to come. Come where? To a place? Come to church? No, it's not a place, it's a person. Come unto me, Jesus says. You come to me and I will give you rest. You don't go to the doctor. You don't go to the church. You'll find the help there. The invitation is about the person. It's about Jesus Christ. Look with me in Psalm number 38, if you will, please. Psalm number 38. Jesus invites who? All. Everybody. Not some, not a select few. All that are under
out of my voice today. All that are in North Carolina, all that are in the United States, all those across this world, he says, come. Come here. Let me talk to you. Let me share something with you. Why? Because we're all born with a burden on our back. Every one of us comes into life with this right here. You can't help it. There's nothing you can do about it. Jackson's 7 years old. He was born with this right here on his back. It's the burden of sin. Everybody is born with it. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all born with it. Well, what does this burden of sin do to us? Look with me in Psalm number 38. In the verses 1 through 4. It says, O Lord, cries out David, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest. Where in my bones? Why? Because of sin. For mine iniquities are gone over mine head. As in a heavy burden, they are too what? Too heavy for me. David said, I can't carry them. How, they're too heavy. They've gone over my head, and there's no rest in my bones. He says, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Many people labor. They're working. As we talk to people, I believe my good works will get me to heaven. You are laboring. No amount of good works will ever get you to heaven. No matter what you've done. Someone broke into your mom or your daddy's house and beat them viciously, ransacked the house, took some valuables, and left. You'd be pretty upset. Rightly so, I would be too. But say they do this and they're caught 2 weeks later. They're going to have a court appearing. You decide you want to go to court with them. And they get up there and the prosecution reads out the charges. Yes, I'm guilty. Yes, I beat him. Yes, I robbed him. Yes, I tore the house up. Yes, I stole. And they're going to come down to sentence time. He says, wait a minute. Wait just a minute. I was a good person in school. I made straight A's. I helped my mama around the house. I did community service. I was in church, mama. Do you think because of those things we would expect that judge not to condemn them guilty? No, he'd be crazy. We would never expect that. But many people say, no, God will do that. God will excuse it because I've got these good works over here. No, because of one. One sin, one evil word, one evil thought, one evil work in your mind and heart, you are condemned to hell. Even as a 6, 7, 8, 19-year-old child. That's a burden to carry. It's laborsome. Some people try to find knowledge and science and evolution, laborsome. Some people try to find not salvation, but they try to prove that God doesn't exist. There could be nothing more laborsome than that. To try to go your life as you see creation before your eyes. The glory of God revealed in all of creation. And you have to go day and day and tell yourself there's no God, there's no God. How laborsome that is. How heavy laden that is. And you just keep adding to that backpack. And you keep going through. I was born that way. Born with this backpack. Went through middle school, high school with this backpack. This backpack got pretty heavy in high school. Got very heavy. With the sins and the lifestyle and just the corruption, crime, everything. It got very, very heavy. I began to crush under its weight. But I didn't even know I was carrying it. Never knew I was carrying it. Carrying that load of sin. Carrying that wickedness. Never knew it was about there. Going through life. Crushing. God, there's got to be a better way. There's got to be something different. What is it? Trying to find it in everything the world can offer. And you still come up empty. Nothing. Nothing there. You got to chase a little more. And chase a little more. Until somebody came by my house. And showed me something. Showed me something that changed my life forever. He shared with me the gospel. He shared with me that I didn't have to work. I didn't have to do good work. That Jesus Christ had took the wrath of God on the cross. And he did it for me. That if I would believe that he died and rose again. If I would call upon And off it went. I was free. The burden of sin was gone. Amen. I never knew it was there until then. Gone. I was free. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Amen. What is the burden? Is it a sin burden this morning? I would not doubt in my mind that there's not somebody here in church this morning that maybe is thinking, trusting in their good works. You're laboring in your good works. You're laboring at some experience, but it's not a person. You're laboring in the fact that you were born into a Christian family. Whatever it is, it's not about a place. It's about a person. Amen. It's about Jesus Christ. There's no other way but through Him. Why do you have that burden? Why did I have that burden? Because the wrath of God abided on me. I was condemned already. It wasn't when I saw Jesus Christ at the judgment seat that I was going to be condemned. No, I was already condemned. You think you're sitting here and you're not saved and you're okay? The wrath of God abides on you already. You say, what about the wrath of God? The wrath of God is severe punishment. We like to look at God and say, He's a God of love. He is. But you know, the Bible talks more about the wrath, the fierceness of God, than it does the love and the tenderness. And if I neglect that as a preacher, I'm neglecting to give you the whole Word of God. But the wrath of God is real. The wrath of God is severe. Revelation talks about Jesus Christ treading out the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And if you do not know Jesus Christ and you are laboring to save yourself, you are under the wrath of God. And there's a way out to throw those burdens off your back. And it's right there. Come unto me. Nice invitation. Come unto me. Come. Come to me. And I'll give you rest. There's an invitation to salvation. And I love the way the Bible puts salvation as a gift. In Romans 6:23, it tells us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Ephesians 2:8-9 tells us there's nothing we can do to work for it. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the what? Gift of God. And I love that picture because we all know what a gift is. And a gift has to be done two things to it. It has to be purchased and it has to be received. If I'm going to give a gift, I have to go purchase it from the store. And then I have to give it to the person that I desire to give it to. And God has a gift, a free gift, that He has already purchased on Calvary, on that cross. He purchased that gift. And He wants to give it to people. But they have to come to Him. They have to come unto Him. Have you received that free gift? Unfortunately, as the more and more I study the Word of God, it seems like the minority received that gift. Look in Noah's day. Whole world, the majority perished. 8 people saved. We look in Sodom when they rained down fire there and God's judgment fell. We see the whole city except for Lot, his wife, and his daughters. 6 people that were saved, the minority. And we see in Matthew 7:13-14, he tells us, wide is the gate. It's wide to destruction. And many there be that find that way, that go that way. But he says, narrow is the way and straight is the gate that leadeth to life. And he says what? Few there be that find it. Are you part of the majority thinking in America? Or are you part of the minority thinking of God and His Word? I see an invitation to salvation. Not only do I see an invitation to salvation, I see an invitation to serve. You think about rest. If you look back with me in Matthew, if you're not there, Matthew 11:28, he's talking about rest. But now he's talking about serving, working, laboring. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I put a little arrow there. You see, we labor, He gives. We work for it, but He gives freely. And I put a little arrow between heavy laden and rest, because what we work for is heavy laden, but what He gives is rest, how they correlate there. Then in verse 29, I see this another invitation. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me. If I understand anything about a yoke, it doesn't mean you're going to sit on the couch. It doesn't mean you're going to let an animal sit down in the stall. A yoke is meant to pair up two animals to go work, to go dig, to go plow, to pull a wagon, to pull some weight. Whatever it is, there's a work to be done. That's what it means. So how in the world does this go with rest? How in the world does this go with casting off your burdens?
What is Christ talking about here? Take my yoke. Notice it's his yoke. It's his work. It's not mine. It's not yours. It's his. Take it upon you. And he says, learn of me. So he has a work. He invites us to come alongside him. First, he invites us to come to know him through salvation. And there and only there can we cast off that burden of sin. Then he invites us to come along beside him. And to come carry him, not carry, but work with him. What is Christ's work? What would this yoke be? He says, come unto me. I'll give you the rest. But now, take my yoke upon you. And learn of me. We got to learn of him to understand what this yoke is. But what is Christ's whole purpose? Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. We see the great commission given to the church, to you and I as individuals, because we make up the church, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. What is his yoke? It's all about souls. That all the world may know that there's a God in heaven. God has a mission, and God's mission should be our mission. Christ said, come, now take this yoke. It's a work, but it's my work. And learn of me. The more and more and more you learn of Jesus Christ, the more and more and more you learn how compassionate, how much love he had towards sinners, toward those wicked ones, towards the ones that were in adultery and affairs, that you may walk down the street on King Street and go, what are they wearing? What are they doing? What are they saying? Christ would walk right up to them and love them. Share the gospel with them. Wrap his arms around them. That's what Christ was all about. And that's his yoke. It's his work. His souls. It's all about souls, that all the earth may know that there's a God in heaven. We would say the Bible is maybe the unfolding drama of redemption. You would say there's a scarlet thread woven through the Bible. Because we see the Bible begins with God and Jesus Christ, and it ends with Jesus Christ. And all through the middle, any book you go to, you can find Jesus Christ. Whether it's pointing forward, showing you, or pointing backwards to our Lord and Savior. But he invites us to learn. What does he mean learn? He invites us to his word. Go with me, if you will, to John. The book of John. Chapter number 15. He wants us to learn of him. And I love that. He's cast my burden off. My sins are gone. I'm free. He says, take this yoke. Come work with me, son. I have a work for you. I have something for you to do. But you need to learn of me. I love that. Come learn of me. Learn who I am. Learn how I act. Learn what I think. Learn what my heart breaks for. What makes me cry. Learn what makes me angry. Learn what moves me to compassion. How will we do that? He invites us to learn through his word. John chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. He wants us to be fruit bearers. Verse 3 says, now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Underline that. For without me ye can do nothing. You think you can do something. I think I can do something. But it doesn't amount to anything. Verse 6, if any man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you. Beautiful verse. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified. How do we glorify God? How? We understand in Revelation 4:11, that is our sole purpose. Why are you here? Why were you created? To give God glory. That is your sole purpose. How do we do that? Verse number 8 tells us, herein is my Father glorified, how that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. He invites us to learn of him. And in verse 7, I see it. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. What does that mean to abide? It means to be in one specific place all the time. You abide there. You live there. You never move away. And Christ says, abide in me. Live there all the time. Be there. And my word abide in you. You're learning of me. You understand what my heart's desires are. You understand what my yoke is now, that I'm calling you to serve with me. I have a work. A work here to do in Boone, in Vilas. I have a work here to do in Swaziland, Africa. I have a work here to do in Amman, Jordan. I have a work here to do at your workplace, in your community, in your neighborhood. I have a work here to do at the grocery store that you buy your groceries at. Take this yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn what his heart's desires are. God has a will for your life. And answer this to yourself. What is God's will for your life? Everybody in here should be able to answer that question. Though God's will may change, it may progress, it will change. But what is God's will for your life at this very moment? If you cannot answer that, you need to seek and find it. Because success is not measured in houses and your job and whether your children turn out right. That's not success. Success is knowing and doing the will of God. That is what true success is that you know it and you do it no matter what it is. Can you answer that question here today? What is the will of God for your life? One, are you doing it? Are you following God's will for your life? Because if you don't follow God's will, you know what you're going to do?
Remember, we cast those burdens off as a Christian. And that's what we do. Whether we don't follow God's will, whether the trials and troubles of life that come along, death, we've seen that, been exposed to that this past week, with dear family members here in our church, whether it's health, whether it's children that have gone astray, you begin to pick this bag back up. You begin to carry it again. As Christians, though, we cast it off. We cast all those burdens, those sins off. But if you're not in the will of God, you're being disobedient to God. And that's a burden. Something you put in your bag. Your loved ones, all the stresses that you carry around, your finances, all that, we begin to pick it back up. We begin to put it back in our bag and to carry it around. As Christians, though Christ said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Go back with me to Matthew, if you will. He tells us to take his yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I find lastly here an invitation to surrender. Just take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly in heart. I'm humble. I'm low in heart. Take my yoke. Engage in labor. Engage in toil. And you shall find rest. I don't know about you, but when I labor, I love landscaping. I love yard work. That's what I enjoy doing. But when I get done with the day, 12 hours of mowing grass and doing landscape work, I'm not rested. I'm pretty tired, pretty exhausted. The sun has beat down on me. I've sweated all day. I'm ready to come home and kick my feet up and drink some water and eat a meal. How do you find rest in labor? Maybe you're blessed with a great job that you really enjoy doing. Yes, you'll find some rest in that labor because you really enjoy what you're doing. I find rest in the middle of that labor, but I still come home exhausted, physically, emotionally. When I was a manager at the building supply company, my stresses were different than they were doing landscaping. The stresses were making sure the customers are taken care of, making sure the numbers are up for the month, making sure the boss is happy. And it's very stressful because it's very busy, everybody contacting you. Then the stress changes with a different job. And now the stress has changed differently now when we're doing ministry. It's not so much the stresses of keeping the numbers up and stresses of making sure this customer's taken care of. Because as a landscaper that you're self-employed, you determine how much money you're going to make. You determine if there's going to be bread on your table. Responsibility falls on you. That responsibility begins to weigh a little bit. It begins to tug at your back. Men, As you try to be providers of your family. Women, as you try to care and provide for your family. You try to care for your children. You're trying to care for your mom or dad now that their ages got a little up and their health is down. Begins to tug at your shoulders a little bit. Begins to get stressful. We all know what stress is. I mean, you can look at the Institute of Stress and they say there's $250 million lost to stress-related activities. You can read on there just all about stress, how it affects companies, how much money they lose, how many days they're lost, all because of stress. We all know what stress is. We all feel it. But Christ invites us to salvation. He invites us to serve with Him, to come alongside Him. And He invites us to surrender. All these stresses, all these concerns, this stuff of our responsibility, how this outcome comes, and it stresses and it pulls and it begins to work on your back. It begins to hurt. We carry it around as Christians. But Christ did not that way. He never told us to pick that burden back up. Never once did He say pick it back up. But He asks us to surrender it to Him. Look with me in Psalm 55, verse 22, if you will. Psalm 55, verse 22. Christ tells us to surrender all our burdens and cares to Him. Christ never promised a life free of burdens, free of trials. That's not what He promised. And I think I got from this verse, honestly, that I could go through life and do everything and carry the burden and carry this responsibility and carry more stress and carry more stress. And God would put me like Superman or something. Magically just make them go away. But I thought I could keep carrying and keep carrying and carry more and carry more. That's not how it works. He tells us to surrender them to Him, to leave them at His feet. Look with me in Psalm 55, 22. He says what? Cast thy burden where? Upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. 1 Peter 5, 7 says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Casting has that idea of throwing. If you've ever been fishing, you throw a net for bait or for minnows. You're throwing it out there. Or maybe you're casting seed on your field. But you're throwing it away. You're throwing it far from you. That's the idea here. But remember, this bag is heavy. It's there. What do you mean cast it? How do I get rid of it? What do I do? How do I cast all my cares upon Jesus Christ? Back in Matthew, if you will. He tells us in the bottom of verse 29, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Why? For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I don't know anything about a light burden. Burdens are heavy. They're stressful, and life is full of them. Everybody here has a care and a burden you brought here with you to church this morning. Many of you, many of them. Many of them, that's what's consuming your mind right now. Because that's what's real in your life. While I'm preaching, you may not have heard hardly half of what I said because you've got cares and burdens of this life that are clouding your mind and they're robbing you from God. They're robbing you from being still and know that I am God. Know that I can take these burdens. Know that if you will surrender them to me, and my main problem of not surrendering my burdens to Christ is pride. It's pride that I can do it, I can carry it, load it up. Terry, guess what? I can carry all this, buddy. I want to show you how much I can carry, how much I can do before I literally collapse on the floor. Pride. Show that I can do this. That's what God has shown me. And I'm not responsible for the outcome. That always weighs so heavy on me. I'm not responsible for the outcome of Jackson in a sense. I'm to train him up diligently. Deuteronomy 6 teaches me that I can do all I can do, but it's up to the Lord. Amen. Our ministry, I can do all I can do. I can call 9,000 pastors all day long, but it's up to Him. It's not up to me. It's not up to me to raise the support. there's things in your life that you cannot help the outcome of. You've done all you can do, beloved. But you have to trust it to God.
Amen.
You have to trust it to the Lord because He knows. Easier said than done, right? It is. That's where He invites us to come. You have to abide in Him. That's the secret, David. He'll help you. Never promise you 3 days in good heaven. Never promise you won't have trials and burdens. Because if you abide in me, you'll be able to carry this load. If you abide in me, my word abides in you. I'll help you through. I'll take it off. This, you still have those cares and stuff, but why don't you come over here and put them on me? Terry, will you come here just for a second, if you will, sir? Talk about this yoke. Try to display it a little bit. You're a farm man. I'm not so much. I didn't grow up on a farm. But do you know what a yoke is? You do. Well, Christ tells us to come under His yoke. And from my understanding, just from seeing the picture, the yoke joins two animals together, correct? So they can carry a wagon, a load, a burden, whatever. And you put your arm out like this one and you're straight out. Me and you are going to yoke together. We're going to walk to the back. We do that? No. Me and him are yoked together, right? And I'm in this yoke with Terry. We're going together. What happens if I start walking slower than Terry? Terry's going to have a hard time when he's gone. What happens if I get out in front of Terry? Walking fast, carrying him. Because I know what I'm doing. I'm out of that yoke now. And I've come out of Christ's yoke. So abide in him, me and Terry can be set and set with each other. My left foot went forward, his went forward. My right, his went forward. And we were set and set all the way through. That's what Christ says. Come unto me. Take my yoke. And you take my yoke. You have to abide in me. Abide. You remember what abide means? Stay in one place. All the time. Lord, I don't know what your cares, I don't know what your burdens are. I know what mine are. I know what God has helped me through this week. We were supposed to be on a family vacation, and we did a staycation. We stayed home. I've never done that before, but this was our week of, we block off our calendar for us to have a family vacation. My wife was so sweet, so giving, so unselfish to allow us to do that, because that's what I had to have. I had come to the end of myself. And you say, well, what does that guy do? He don't do nothing. But I had carried burdens, and I had carried concerns, and I had carried so much responsibility on my shoulders. And the problem is, I drop that bag as a Christian. I pick it up. Christ taught me to drop it again. I pick it up. I drop it. I pick it up. And I had been carrying it until I almost gave out under the pressure. And God said, no, come to me, son. Walk with me. You're carrying that because you're prideful, because you won't give it to me, because you want to say, look, honey, I can take this. I can do this. Pride. We must surrender it to Christ. Abide in Him. Have you taken care of the burden of sin? Have you accepted God's free gift of salvation? It's there for you. Don't go through life laboring, trying to get rid of it, trying through good works, trying through this, trying through that. It's just a free gift. All you have to do is take it. He's offering it to you. What burdens are just too much for you, beloved? You say, I've had enough. They're just too much. What burdens are there that you really have not paid any attention that you're carrying, but they're affecting you? Those stresses, ask God to help you to reveal them to you. Ones you've been carrying for a long time are those ones you keep picking back up. You drop them, you pick them up. You drop them, you pick them up. Ask God to help you. I'm just going to read a few lines of a hymn. The hymn is Leave It There. It says that the world from you withhold of all its silver and its gold, and you have to get along with meager fare. Just remember, in His word, how He feeds the little bird. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If your body suffers pain and your health can't regain, and your soul is almost sinking in despair, Jesus knows the pain you feel. He can save and He can heal. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. When your enemies assail and your heart begins to fail, don't forget that God in heaven answers prayer. He will make a way for you and will lead you safely through. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. When your youthful days are gone and old age is stealing on,
and your body bends beneath the weight of care, he will never leave you then. He will go with you to the end. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. And beloved, that's what I call and invite you to do this morning, whatever your burdens and your weights are, that you'll come to the Lord and you'll leave it there. I'm going to pray, and then Pastor, dear Lord, I love you. God, I thank you for this day. Thank you for each person here. God, you know their cares. You know their burdens. God, help the people here. Show them through your word that you care, that you can. If there's someone here that does not know you, that is carrying around that bag and that burden of sin, God, please convict them. Please bind the devil and open their eyes to see the gospel and the truth. I pray that you'll work now. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.